On November 20th, the expedition set out for St. Louis. Now it was headed upstream, and would continue to labor upstream until it reached the Continental Divide somewhere in the Rocky Mountains. Lewis and Clark were now face to face with what would be the major problem almost until they reached the Continental Divide, moving a relatively large craft upstream on a major river. The power of the river, with its boils and swirls and floating obstacles, awed them. The pirogues were badly undermanned. The keelboat was woefully so. Lewis and Clark scholar Arlen Large speculates that this may have been the instant when the captains decided they needed more men. On November 28th, the expedition reached the army post at Kaskaskia, Illinois. There, Lewis called for volunteers and made his selections. The exact number is not known. Arlen Large thinks it was something more than a dozen. On December 4th, Clark set out with the boat party, headed for the mouth of Wood River, upstream from St. Louis on the Illinois side, directly opposite the mouth of the Missouri. Lewis traveled up the Illinois bank by horseback. He arrived at the village of Cahokia, almost directly across from St. Louis, on December 7th. The next morning, Lewis crossed the river to St. Louis to meet the Spanish Lieutenant Governor of Upper Louisiana, Colonel Delassus. The meeting had some rough spots. Delassus denied Lewis permission to go up the Missouri until the transfer of sovereignty had taken place in St. Louis. Lewis did not argue the point. It was too late in the season to press on anyway, and Lewis needed to be near St. Louis to purchase supplies for the extra men. St. Louis, when Lewis arrived, was 4 decades old with a population of a little over 1,000, mainly French Canadians. For so young and so small a town, St. Louis had a critical role to play in a vast empire. It was the center of the fur trade for the huge region drained by the Missouri. Most of the trade goods came from across the ocean, then crossed the continent to reach St. Louis. From that central point, the goods fanned out via individual traders to the farthest reaches of the frontier. And the pirogues and keelboats that carried the trade goods to the Indians brought back stacks and stacks of beautiful furs that brought king's ransoms in Europe. And if things weren't good enough for the St. Louis merchants, here came Meriwether Lewis, with only enough supplies in hand for a party of 15 instead of the amount needed for a party of 45, and armed with an authorization from the